Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. We made it to the midway point of this week on this Wednesday, the 20th of August, 2014. Rose, do you know what today is? You'd have no idea. Today is the day Tucson celebrates its 239th birthday. It's the day that an Irishman named Hugo O'Connor, who was working for the Spanish military, identified Tucson as the spot for a new presidio. So, happy birthday to Tucson. The Buckmaster Show live, 1204 to 1 each weekday, right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We also have the program available for you through our podcast at buckmastershow.com. A big welcome to one of our new media sponsors, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine and tucsonlifestyle.com. They have a link to the Buckmaster Show and vice versa on our website, to tucsonlifestyle.com. During the noon hour, we'll spend a half an hour with Tucson City Council member Richard Fimbres, then our monthly segment on animal care, and then we'll round out the hour with Tom Collier, the Buckmaster Show consumer affairs contributor, talking about this big data breach, a cyber attack that involved two Tucson hospitals over the past 5 years. We'll talk to Tom about that and how you can protect yourself from being the victim of a cyber attack. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 and our Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster. Let's welcome now Council Member Ward 5, Democrat Richard Fimbres. Councilman, how are you today?
How you doing, Bill? Happy Wednesday.
Hey, happy Wednesday.
Happy birthday to our great city of Tucson.
Happy birthday indeed to Tucson. We've got actually a couple of big events today. We've got the birthday celebration and then a kind of a meet and greet. You're involved with this, hosting a forum with Pima Community College Chancellor Dr. Lee Lambert.
Yes, there's exciting things going on today. As you said earlier, Tucson will celebrate its 239th birthday over at the Presidio San Agustin de Tucson. And you know that they replicate the cannon fire along with other festivities, which will commemorate the letter Hugo O'Connor penned to Spain on August 20th, 1775, identifying Tucson as a spot for the new Presidio, which originally had been over at Tubac.
Yeah. So.
And so there'll be the procession of the DM, Color Guard will be there to present our flags, and then the flags will also include Spain, Mexico, the state of Arizona, the Confederate States of America, and the 28th Star U.S. flag brought through the Mormon by the Mormon Battalion that was here. So it's a big event. Traditionally, lots of elected officials and lots of great folks will be there today to reenact that day back in 1775.
Well, I think it's a good idea to move the event. It used to be the time of the event, as I recall, and I'm sure you remember too, was like 8:30 in the morning, and now it's kind of an evening celebration, 6 to 8. It's, I think, a lot more visitor friendly, wouldn't you agree?
I agree with you. It's a little bit cooler than it was back then in the heat. So that's good. And then on Sunday, with the same theme of Friends of Tucson's Birthplace, Mission Gardens will announce their breakfast, their annual breakfast, commemorating the 239th birthday at the Mercado San Agustin Courtyard. And that's from 7 to 10 a.m. So if folks are interested, they can go out there and have a great breakfast. And it starts at 7 and goes till about 10 o'clock.
What's this event with the Chancellor Lambert tonight?
Tonight we're hosting a community forum for Pima Community College to discuss the changes. You know, Chancellor Lambert has been here a little over a year now. I think it's a year and 2 weeks, and we wanted to hear all the changes that have gone on with Pima Community College. He's made lots of changes to get the college moving in the right direction and off of probation that was imposed by the Higher Learning Commission and to address the new challenges facing the educational institution. You know, Pima is so important to our community, and it touches so many folks in our community that, you know, we can't let it fail, and we need to stay with it and provide the support that's so so needed by our community. That's why it's Pima Community College, because they were formed in the 60s to assist that population that needed assistance going on to higher learning or needed new retraining from just being laid off of a position or finally realized they need a high school diploma to get on with their lives, and so they went back to school. And Pima offers a lot of that. Plus, for our seniors that are retired, they can learn new things to keep them busy. So there's lots of positive things going on with the college. Athletics is up and coming. I think you've seen a lot of our local stars move on to Pima and have played there and really shined. And I know their football program is really excelling, and they're trying to get back to the way to more competitiveness.
Where is this event?
It's going to be over at Rigo's in South Tucson. Rigoberto Lopez has loaned us their facility. We'll have some food. And then we'll have the dialogue created, and Chancellor Lambert will be able to talk about all the fine things, and questions and answers will be there.
All right. Council Member Fimbres with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. If anyone has a question or comment for the councilman, give us an update on the situation with these families who have been dropped off at the Tucson Intake Center, who are being ministered by the Mariposa Project. Is that number of families still, is it decreasing or increasing? Where is it at right now?
It's decreased a lot. I know that we still have some that are trickling through, and we've had a lot of good folks come to the aid of these individuals. I know that several of my council colleagues have been staying on top of this. When I was in D.C., I met with Felicia Escobar, Senior Policy Director for the White House Immigration Domestic Policy Council, Kevin Bailey, Policy Assistant Domestic Policy Council, and Elias Alcantrad, Associate Director of Intergovernmental Affairs, to talk about what was going on with immigration. And at that time, it was 52,000 unoccupied children were apprehended at the U.S.-Mexico border from October 1st through June 15th, about doubled the total in a similar period a year earlier. And I want to see and hear what the plans were. And they were looking at opening a new facility in South Texas with about 1,000 beds to help provide additional space for the children and adults with kids. And they would hope that that would alleviate some of the things that they were, the overcrowding that was occurring in other facilities. So I think that the reports are showing that we've seen a diminished number of children other than the folks that have family members in this area.
So they're being housed and taken care of through this Project Mariposa?
Yes.
And is this costing the taxpayers anything or what?
Well, this is the federal funding. So
okay.
So it's mostly money that CHP and those folks, the Border Patrol and those folks provide the funding for.
Now, you were back in Washington. Is there any movement at all about, you've been very, very vocal about moving the processing, U.S. Postal Service Processing Center out of Tucson, having all of our mail go up to Phoenix first. What's the latest on that?
Well, most recently, half of the Senate has called for a one-year moratorium on U.S. Postal Service plans to close mail processing plants and slow down first-class mail delivery. A letter signed by 50 senators said Congress should block a proposal by Postmaster General Patrick Donahue to close up to 82 mail processing plants. Slowing down mail delivery even further will hurt senior citizens on fixed income, small businesses, and the entire economy, is what the letter said. So there's still movement. I don't understand the formula they utilize to especially close the center down here in southern Arizona when we only have two. They still haven't been able to show us the formula that they created to do this, and it's going to impact us. Here we are talking about improving our economy and getting it moving forward, and you only have one center here. If you're a business person wanting to relocate your business from another area and you want to come to Arizona, I don't think you're going to look at southern Arizona if you don't have a center that's going to help you. get your product out. So those are some of the challenges we have. We've been working with our legislative body. I know that a person that you had on the radio yesterday, Terry Bracey, and Tracy Tucker, have been really key to helping us on this issue. And they're not stopping. And I know that they've been talking to our national elected officials. I know that Congressman Barber, Congressman Grijalva have also been key in carrying this this message forward for us.
Well, I don't understand it myself, and I've spoken out about this. I can't understand how a city with really the size of Tucson, we've got to be the largest city in the country without our own mail processing center.
Yes. Well, they're looking, New Orleans is one of the centers, the distribution centers, to also be cut out of those 82. So how do you figure that?
I don't.
With the huge population New Orleans has. And so we are 1.5 million folks in Pima County, and not to have a center doesn't make sense. Plus, the tribes, the Tohono O'odham Nation and the Pascua-Yagi tribe, who rely heavily on the Postal Service, our seniors, which sometimes they consider as a retirement community, rely heavily on it for the security checks. I know a lot of people say, well, they can get it through email, but these folks came from a different era.
That's right.
The Depression, where they want to see their check in their hand, and then they want to deposit it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just the mindset. And then for our veterans who still rely heavily on getting their medications by mail are some of the issues that we have to look at. Not to also discard the 200, 300 employees there. So we're still moving on this thing, and we're hoping that they can delay the process and rethink this. And I'm hoping Senator McCain and Senator Flake will jump in and also support this effort.
All right, we're going to keep Council Member Fimbres with us for one more segment. He'll be with us till about 12:30. Right now, we're going to hear from the fine folks who support the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
There's only one Los Changuitos Feos, and there's only one 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Don't miss this celebration of Tucson's own internationally renowned youth mariachi. Mariachi Cobre comes back from Disney World to its Tucson roots for this extraordinary event. Los Changuitos Feos 50th anniversary concert, Saturday, 7 p.m., August 23rd at the TCC Music Hall. Tickets available at the TCC box office or online through Ticketmaster.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tucson City Council member Richard Fimbres, Ward 5, Democrat, with us. We just heard that commercial from Tom Collier, our friend, for Los Changuitos Feos dinner that's coming up on Saturday. I know you're very much excited about that as well, council member.
Yes, that's going to be a great celebration. 50 years of the Los Changuitos Feos, who started by Father O'Rourke, I know there's a couple of key people coming back that were the heart and soul of the Changuitos Feos for a lot of years was Randy and Steve Carrillo, who are now playing with Mariachi Cobre in Florida at the Epcot Center. And they've been there for lots of years showcasing the rich diversity of the Mexican culture that we have. And I would encourage everybody to go. There's going to be fine music done by Mariachi Cobre, who was the original Changuitos Feos, over at the Tucson Music Hall on Saturday from starting at 7 p.m. Another key thing that's happening also that's historical to our community, Bill, is that La Tortuga, rolling top 50 pep tech, 47th annual celebration. And La Tortuga was a little school bus that would go into the fields with the migrant families, and while their parents toiled the soil, their children were in the in that little school bus being taught and given an education. And that's over, that little original school bus is over housed at the Pep Tech facility, which is at 7350 South Nogales Highway. And they're having a celebration at the Desert Diamond Casino on also on Friday from 6:30 to 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And again, we have such a rich history and culture in our community that it's really very positive to see all these things and that we're not forgetting about what made this community so great.
Well, it's very appropriate, isn't it, that all of this is happening on the Tucson birthday weekend.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the Tesla situation. This hasn't been getting much publicity about Tesla Motors. I know that the city did a building permit just in case Tesla wants to come to Tucson. Who knows what they're up to, though? They have kind of indicated they're going up to the Reno area. What do you think? Is this still alive?
Well, what we're hearing is that we're still in play. It would be ideal. We have great facilities for them to come down to Tucson. The mayor issued a permit already, so I know that was an issue with one of the other sites And here we are saying, we welcome you to come down to Arizona, be a part of our great community. And those are good-paying jobs that would help us. But we're in the running, and I know that Texas and some other folks are also still there. So I know our folks and our mayor has been taking the lead in trying to get them to come down to Tucson.
Well, speaking of the mayor, he is scheduled to be with us for our Friday Focus interview this Friday here on the Buckmaster Show at 12:04, so we'll get an update with him. As far as Davis-Monthan, the effort continues to try to keep the A-10. What's the latest on that?
That's one of the other reasons why I went to D.C. was to meet with folks from the Department of Defense. Again, Terry Bracey and Tracy Tucker arranged some very valuable meetings with the Armed Services Committee members, and Congressman Barber also arranged some meetings. And the meetings confirmed that the A-10 will be protected in the coming year, but momentum to replace it will continue to grow with the Pentagon experience increased budget pressures. The future of DM could be quite bright if we could get ahead of the curve and focus on possibly new missions that fit the community's needs. And they're talking about the diverse usage of our facilities. And one of the key things, two things that I say we have 365 days a year of great training weather that DM loves to hear. We also have the Boneyard, which is the international Boneyard for us. And then we also have the international training site for the pilots over at the Air Guard. So we have lots of pluses for us. And then the close proximity of Fort Huachuca is also key. And then plus that we're 64 miles from the border is also another key. I just think that the community needs to come together and continue to work on this and be proactive and not reactive to this. And continue to be forward and working on this. And I know the mayor and my colleagues on the council are very interested with this, along with the Board of Supervisors and everybody that lives in this great city. It's a huge economic engine for our community. I think that they said that if you count DM, the Boneyard, the Air Guard, and Raytheon, there's about 16,000 jobs.
We're in the middle of, I think this is year one, right? Are we beginning year two on the five-year attack on potholes?
This is the first year. Last year, Mayor and Council put together $20 million out of the general fund to attack it. Then the good citizens voted on Prop 4, I think it was 409, or 409, and they approved that. And that means for the next five years, $20 million a year will go toward potholes. And we got lots of crews out, but this great weather doesn't help us. We need the rain, but it's terrible on our streets.
How about the graffiti? Is that being attacked, I hope?
Yes. We've got a great contract with GPC. TPD has done things to really track down some of these known abusers. We've been working with a lot of neighborhoods. I've been able to get the Job Corps, Apollo School in my ward, and we have lots of neighborhood associations that love to do anti-graffiti abatement, getting that stuff down and taking it down once it's tagged. So we're being more proactive, and I think we need to do more educational and start at the middle school and elementary school, saying that we just don't want to tolerate this graffiti. That's you're destroying property. It's not just art.
A lot of people like to knock Tucson, but as far as you're concerned, you've been around here a long time. It's a great place to live. I assume you're going to say.
I agree with you. I've been when I traveled, and I love coming back to Tucson. When I worked in Phoenix as the governor's office of highway safety director. I used to love to come back to Tucson and get my batteries recharged. But we have such a great community. And with the modern-day streetcar that we cut the ribbon on a couple weeks ago, things are going forward. Downtown is turning into a beautiful area to go and spend your weekend and go eat dinner, enjoy the festivities, and then get on the streetcar and travel back to your car and go home. There's lots of positive things happening in our community if people just give it a chance.
All right. Well, look for your posts on Facebook. You keep all of your Facebook friends up to date on what's going on. It seems like you're all over the place attending all sorts of functions and like to see those pictures on Facebook. Councilmember Fimbres,
thanks a lot
for thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, one of the things I want to mention, too, before we go, do we have any time left?
Yeah, real quickly.
Okay, is that we are pushing a Buffalo Soldier Memorial to recognize the efforts that our Buffalo African-American soldiers served in during the...
The early days.
Yeah, during the early days of our community. So we had a celebration. July 28th was the key for the 148th anniversary of the congressional resolution that authorized for the first time African-Americans to serve in the peacetime army of the United States.
Okay.
Two cavalry and four infantry regiments were created.
All right.
And we are working hard to put a memorial over in the Quincy Douglas facility. So I'll keep you abreast of that, Bill,
thanks,
in future times that we meet talk.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, have a good day.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Officials familiar with the deal say Bank of America has reached a record $17 billion settlement with federal and state authorities over its role in the sales of mortgage-backed securities in the run-up to the 2008 financial crisis. Attorney General Holder in Missouri now. He'll be meeting with FBI and other officials carrying out the federal investigation into the police shooting of Michael Brown. President Obama vows that the U.S. will be relentless in its fight with Islamic State terrorists who brutally killed a U.S. journalist in Iraq in cowardly acts of violence, according to the president. U.S. officials say military planners are weighing the possibility of sending more American forces to Iraq, mainly to provide additional security in the Baghdad area. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Stop it!
Is your dog out of control, dragging you on walks, chewing furniture, barking, or even biting? With over 40 years' experience, Dog Masters Training can train you to provide the proper leadership your dog is waiting for. From basic obedience to walking on a lead, leash aggression to socialization, Dog Masters Training. Because if you don't take control, your dog will. Visit our website, dogmasterstraining.com, or call 977-5965.
Once a month here on the Buckmaster Show, we focus on animal care issues. The segment is about specialty animal care, presented by Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson. It's an award-winning facility open 24/7, and it is recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. Located at North La Cunyata Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com, Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson certainly is specialty vets for special pets. Joining us for this month's animal care segment, Dr. Danielle Babsky, emergency and critical care specialist at Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson. Dr. Babsky, how are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. And I wanted to talk today about a problem that some of our dog friends suffer from. It's canine distemper virus. What is that, and is it similar to any other viruses?
Canine distemper virus is a very highly contagious viral infection in dogs that can be prevented by vaccine. And it resembles it's similar family group of virus to measles and mumps, but has just different clinical signs associated with it.
Are there other animal species, Dr. Babsky, that are susceptible to the canine distemper virus?
Absolutely. Definitely dogs and those animals related to dogs, such as coyotes or foxes, but also raccoons and seals, otters, ferrets, and even lions and hyenas have been known to carry a type of canine distemper virus.
What is the incubation period for the virus?
So if you think your pet has been exposed to a dog that may have carried canine distemper virus, it can take sometimes 1 to 2 weeks or even up to a month before they start to display symptoms of the virus.
And what are those symptoms?
So symptoms are variable. It can affect many different body systems. Generally, what you see most commonly in dogs that get this virus are gastrointestinal signs like vomiting, loss of appetite, diarrhea. But at the same time, they'll also have ocular discharge, and usually it's really green and thick, nasal discharge. They'll cough and sometimes have problems breathing and other symptoms of pneumonia. And then besides those three body systems, the lungs, the eyes, and the gastrointestinal tract, dogs can also develop skin issues where they get little pustules or like a skin rash. And then dogs that sometimes survive this will get thicker paw pad, like their paw pads will become thickened, and the nose will become very thick and dry. And then in certain dogs, we don't always understand which dog develops this or not, but they can develop neurologic signs. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, does it come on fast, these symptoms, or is this
I would say, you know, after the pet's been exposed, you may not see symptoms for a week or a couple of weeks. And then once they start, it does seem in my experience that it can be a little tricky to figure out, because the pet may first show up with signs of vomiting or diarrhea, and the doctor may think, oh, this could be parvovirus or it could have worms. But then the next day or two, the pet will develop goopy eye discharge or a cough. And then as you start to get this history of a couple of different things going on over a period of a few days, that's when you start to say, oh my goodness, this may be the distemper virus. And then in those dogs that sometimes they can recover from the more mild infections, but they develop seizures or muscle tics later on and can have some other neurologic issues as well.
How is the disease spread, and are there certain breeds of dogs, Dr. Babsky, that might be more susceptible?
So as far as how it's spread, it's generally direct contact through like respiratory secretions. It can live in the environment for just a very short period of time, unlike some other viruses. So like parvovirus is really hardy, and it takes a long time for it to die in the environment, sometimes up to months. Distemper can be killed pretty quickly. As far as a certain breed or breed of dog, every breed is are at risk for obtaining it, but certainly we tend to see more commonly infections in younger pets that don't have, that haven't been vaccinated or that don't have a strong immune system. So it's more common in young pets, five months of age.
And the treatment consists of what?
So it's a virus. All we can do is support them and try to prevent secondary infections from setting in. And so support generally is in the hospital because these guys get very sick. Sometimes it's antibiotics because the virus causes pneumonia, which then can cause development of bacterial pneumonia, so we treat with antibiotics, sometimes supplementation with oxygen, medications to keep you not being nauseated and to stop vomiting, IV fluids to help keep you hydrated, and then if those pets are having seizures or any of the neurologic disorders seen, sometimes they have to be on anti-seizure medication.
Is the survival rate pretty good or what?
Well, in mild infections, they have a pretty fair prognosis if you can support them through it. And sometimes pets will have the infection and never really be sick enough for anyone to notice that they had the infection. So you kind of have the, I feel like in the real world, we tend to see the ones that get very sick, and those patients don't always live. But with if you catch it early and you support them, and they don't develop the neurologic signs later on, that can be hard to live with or hard for the pet to live with. They have a fair prognosis, but there are different, seems to be, different, I guess, strengths or strains, not necessarily a strain of the virus, but some pets seem to be affected by a much more hardy virus, and they don't get well, and a lot of those pets need to be euthanized because they just never get better.
What about the vaccines?
So vaccines, they're excellent. That's really the only way to prevent this. But there's a lot of issues with why your pet may have been vaccinated and then still get the virus. You know, there's been talk about the possibility of different types of canine distemper virus out there that maybe the vaccine doesn't prevent, but that's not really been shown to be the case. What is probably more likely is that, a lot of people would like to vaccinate their pets at home, and you can't always guarantee how that vaccine was stored before you purchase it,
mm-hmm.
or if you gave all the vaccine in the correct spot, or if some leaked out, or the pet may have not had a very good, we all have different immune systems, and one pet may just not have had a very good response to the vaccine, and so they didn't develop that protection.
So I guess prevention for canine distemper virus is really the key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The hard part about that is you need to have, a certain number of pets in the community vaccinated for distemper in order for it to be a very effective protection from the virus. And then what makes it a little bit more complex is that this virus can also be carried by wild animals. And there have been, instances in certain parts of the country where there may have been an outbreak in dogs in the pet population that then affects wild animals and vice versa. And so we need to be very vigilant about protecting our pets so that we can kind of create like a herd health and protect more than just our canine pets.
When the animal presents to you, is there any kind of test that will confirm that it is CDV?
So that's a good question because there are definitely tests out there provided by some of the big reference laboratories in the country. There's a lot of variability in whether or not certain virologists or certain doctors think that those tests are 100% reliable. They can have false positives, meaning the test says they're positive, but the patient doesn't have it. And they can be false negatives, where the test comes back negative, but the patient does have it. So it's not a perfect test, but we use it because it's all we have in conjunction with looking at the clinical signs. So most doctors, when they're trying to figure out whether this pet has a diagnosis of distemper or not, you rule out the other diseases it could be, and then you submit this test, and based on the clinical signs or the symptoms the pet's having, you use your best judgment and, come up with a diagnosis that way. I feel that at our clinic, we feel pretty comfortable with the tests that are available. One of the issues is they do take a couple of days to come back, and so it can be a very challenging time while you're trying to help the patient and help the family, and sometimes they get worse during that time, and it can be really a difficult time for everybody involved.
So a puppy would be vaccinated, and then would there typically be booster shots, Dr. Babsky?
Absolutely. So most puppies, I'm an emergency and critical care specialist, so I'm not 100% up on vaccine protocol these days. But generally, most puppies get vaccinated at a certain time, and then they usually receive, depending on their age, 2 to 3 boosters.
Mm-hmm.
And then adult dogs, if you adopt an adult dog and they get vaccinated, they should probably also receive at least one booster if you know that they hadn't been vaccinated in the past to protect them.
I guess it would be very important to decontaminate your home or kennel after, if you unfortunately lose a pet to the CDV.
It absolutely. Thankfully, unlike parvovirus, distemper virus you can clean it with, you can kill the virus with pretty much normal disinfectant solutions. It's a very fragile virus, and we can get rid of the, we can clean the environment really well in pets that have it.
All right, Dr. Danielle Babsky, thank you very much from Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, a very important subject for all dog owners in our community. We thank you for sharing some very important information. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you very much. This segment brought to you by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Specialty vets for special pets. They're open 24/7. Recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. They're at North La Cunada Drive and West River Road. And they're on the web at vscot.com.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control's patented foam treatment process. Trusted to rid the military base on Johnson Atoll of termites. Trusted by Tucson and Southern Arizona residents to rid their homes of termites. Locally owned and operated since 1980. We know what bugs you. Five-star Termite and Pest Control. Our president began working on an alternative termite treatment process in the early 90s. In 2001, we were awarded a U.S. patent for developing this new method to protect homes from termites. Pest industry and innovation from right here in Tucson. 886-0045 or fivestartermite.com.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 reverse osmosis drinking water system is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City, New Mexico. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, specifically. Coming up, there's always something going on over there, and then coming up on Saturday, September the 6th, Taste of Downtown. Sample the delicious delights of Silver City's downtown eateries. Then the following weekend, they have their big guitar festival. They call it Pick-a-mania, you know, like guitar picks. All of that's happening over in Silver City, which is about 200 miles east of Tucson. Take you about 3 hours to get there, and it's a great environment. You can find out about the great places to stay, like Wilderness Lodge and Homestead RV Park, by going to southwestnewmexico.org. Tom Collier is with us. Tom is the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs, and before we get into consumer affairs, you're also a spokesman for the Los Changuitos Feos concert, which is Saturday night. It was nice that council member Fimbrace gave you a nice plug.
Yes, thank you so much. We appreciate it. You know, City of Tucson gave us a proclamation, so next week, or this week, is Los Changuitos Feos week. I'm their treasurer. I'm on their board. That's what I do in my spare time.
And folks who want to attend the conference and, well, actually the concert.
Yeah, the concert at our website, loschanguitosfeos.org, or you can buy it through Ticketmasters, or there's a telephone number on our website that you can call and get direct access to the TCC box office, well, and then pick your tickets up at the will call window.
Okay.
For the plug.
Sure. Should be a great concert on Saturday night. A lot of history connected.
Oh, I was at the rehearsal hall last night, and the kids
are getting the
just,
show all set up.
Oh, my gosh. It's so inspiring to be around them.
One thing that was not inspiring was reading the front page of the Arizona Daily Star for anyone who has been a patient at two Tucson hospitals, Northwest Medical Center and Oro Valley Hospital, over the past 5 years. And this is not just the hospitals, but they also run some clinics,
right?
Walk-in clinics,
right?
Urgent care type facilities. But there's been a compromise, another breach of security, another cyber attack.
Data breach. They've got a bunch of information, including social security numbers. This is the most frustrating type of attack on you on as a consumer that could lead to identity theft, because there's really nothing you can do about it to prevent it. You are the victim. Somebody else makes the mess, and you have to clean it up. There's a good side in that article in the Star this morning. There's a very good sidebar about some of the steps that you need to take now if you are a patient or were a patient at those particular facilities. The number one thing you have to do is monitor. You're going to have to be on alert for the next 3 months or so, maybe even longer than that, to see if there are any attempts to create a credit identity that would steal yours. They've got your social security number. They say that there has been no capture of credit card information or anything like that, but they've got enough information to create false accounts with merchants and false accounts that you might be charged for. So it's going to require that you be vigilant over the next at least 3 months, very vigilant for the next 6 months, somewhat vigilant for the next year. Some of these guys wait a year. They'll let that stuff ripen for a year, and then all of a sudden, when they think that you've gotten that out of your mind and out of your head, that's when they'll attack, and it'll be a surprise. So unfortunately, this is going to require something like eternal vigilance as long as we have these types of breaches with where the company that is responsible for safeguarding your information doesn't do a good job of it and botches it.
So there's really two areas. This is one that shows, you know, this is out of your hands, but then there's the area that you can be proactive.
Well, that's where, for example, if you have a credit card, and by the way, there's going to be major changes in credit cards. We're going to the system which has chips and pins where you have an electronic chip in the credit card. By November the 15th of next year, we're going to make that switch over. It's going to involve people who take credit cards and people who use credit cards, but let's get back to the things that you can do if you were a victim of this particular breach at the hospitals. Mm-hmm. Once again, you're going to have to monitor. The best way to do that, the way that you start doing that, is by getting a copy of your credit report as it stands right now so that you have a baseline to figure out where there might be some attack on you or some effort to make you a victim, where your vulnerabilities are. You are allowed one free credit report each year from each of the three major credit reporting agencies. And get a pen or something to write this down, because this is really critical. The website where you can get that information is www.annualcreditreport.com. It is not freecreditreport.com. Freecreditreport.com is a website and that is owned by one of the major credit reporting agencies. And if you go to freecreditreport.com, it's like the admiral of the Starfleet, you know, said it's a trap.
Yeah.
What they'll do, you'll get your free credit report, but they will insist that you sign up for monthly monitoring at, I don't know, $9.95 or $19.95. Mm-hmm. So it's annualcreditreport.com. And there's an 800 number on that website too. The Federal Trade Commission has additional information at www.ftc.gov. But the first step that you should take is get your credit report as it stands right now so you have a baseline to see if there are any violations or perturbations in your credit report over the coming year.
So there are services, too, that will monitor credit
if you pay
a monthly fee or a yearly
fee. I leave it up to you to decide whether that's worth it to you or not. If you're a busy person and you use your credit a lot or you have a major purchase coming up, like you're going to try to buy a home or try to buy a new car, it may be worth it to have somebody notify you. But shop carefully. Look at what kind of alerts that you'll be getting and what they will notify you. If they're going to notify you that, hey, you've been compromised, oh, that's not very good. You know, oh, you've been victimized, that's not very good, because you're still at the point where you have to do the cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
What you're looking for is those companies that will have the ability to notify you of signs and indicators that you are about to be compromised, and then you can take protective action.
Now, getting back to the credit card, the chip that is in the credit card, and I've got one now. I've traveled internationally with it, and in fact, in Europe, it's the only card they will now take, and Canada, too. That's the same story.
Yeah, you're going to have that experience next week, aren't
next
you?
Next week.
Lucky
actually.
Guy. Uh-huh. No, this is a modification to the credit card system that we are so used to. For merchants, it means you're going to have to get a different reader. And the process, if you are a consumer, will be different. Say, like, you hand your credit card over to pay for a purchase. Instead of just swiping it through and asking you to sign the slip after it's printed out, it will be a different process. You will hand the credit card over. It will be placed into the reader, and it will stay there.
Mm-hmm.
It will not be swiped.
Mm-hmm.
You will be asked to insert or to punch in a usually four-digit PIN, personal identification number, and all this information then is stored on that little gold chip that's on the face of the card. There may be additional identification requirements that you'll be required when you make that purchase, but it's all designed to prevent the kind of data theft and credit card information theft that has been so prevalent and that we are allowing ourselves to be the victim of in the United States, while the rest of the world has moved on with a technology that helps protect their customers from something like this.
This is supposed to be a lot more secure.
It is, and that's why you have the majority of these data breaches and identity theft cases in the United States rather than in Europe, in the European Union. They're ahead of us on this.
Mm-hmm.
New Zealand is ahead of us on this. Australia is ahead of us on this. So there's going to be a cost, and I expect that you're going to watch, you're going to ask the business community is going to be asked to pay for it, and they're going to try to pass it on to you. But it is all for a better sense of security when you're using your credit card. If you have any questions about it, call your credit card provider, call your bank, call your credit union, and discuss how these changes are going to be made and how it's going to affect you specifically. But vigilance is the key right now, particularly if you've been a customer of these two hospitals.
Yeah, and I like that system with the credit card. When you are asked by the merchant to verify, is this the amount that you are being charged for?
Correct.
They will ask you yes or no. Are you going to accept that? And
right.
So that's just an additional little step.
It's an additional step, and you may still have to sign the credit card slip,
yes.
And so that you have that, and it's captured electronically now at a lot of the stores. But as your ultimate tool as a consumer is your dollar. If you have a store that you don't trust with your credit information, there's a major retailer whose name begins with T, whose CEO lost his job because of a recent credit breach.
Yeah, we heard.
And their
that.
Finances, their financial situation is tanking this quarter. So
okay.
People are punishing them.
Tom Collier, thank you very much. Good luck with the concert at the TCC
Thanks.
On Saturday night. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan Better Water, Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your residential and business water needs. Thank you, Culligan, for your support. Coming up this afternoon, want to promote one of our new local talk shows for Tucson at 4. That's with Mike Shaw. We do Wake Up Tucson here on KVOI from 6 to 8, then the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9, and then producer Rosemary Brandt and me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you on the KVOI microphones and the live streaming at buckmastershow.com. It all gets going on Thursday at 12:04. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.